Amen.
God is real, isn't it? It's good to see those of you who are visiting with us. I see David and Derek and little dude over there. That's my guy. So good to see you all and your families here with us today. Genesis, the 32nd chapter, says, Jacob went on his way, and the angels of God met him. And when Jacob saw them, he said, this is God's camp. So he called it Ham. Jacob sent messages before him to his brother Esau in the land of Seir, the country of Edom, instructing them, thus you shall say to my lord Esau, thus says your servant Jacob, I have lived with Laban as an alien and stayed until now, and I have oxen, donkey, flock, male and female slaves, and I have sent to tell my lord in order that I may find favor in your sight. The messenger returned to Jacob saying, we came to your brother Esau, and he is coming to meet you, and 400 men with him. Then Jacob was greatly afraid and distressed, and he divided the people that were with him, and the flocks, and the herd, and the camels, into two companies, thinking, if Esau comes to one of the companies and destroys it, then the company that is left will escape. And Jacob said, O God of my father Abraham, and God of my father Isaac, O Lord, who said to me, return to your country and to your kindred, and I will do you good. I am not worthy of the least of all the steadfast love and all the faithfulness that you have shown to the servants. For with only my staff I crossed this Jordan, and now I have become two companies. Deliver me, please, from the hand of my brother, from the hand of Esau, for I am afraid of him. He may come and kill us all, the mothers and the children. Yet you have said, I will surely do good and make your offspring as the sand of the sea, which cannot be counted because of their number. Is that in your Bible? Amen. If you would, just amuse me, and I would like to give you the topic, the effects of fear. The effects of fear. Now, I want you to just take a little walk back in history as we look at this. You all know Jacob, right? Jacob was Abraham's son. Jacob was stole his brother's birthright. Him and his mama tricked his father and stole his brother's birthright. He sold his brother's birthright from Isaac. Isaac favored Esau, who was the firstborn. Rebekah favored Jacob. And Rebekah overheard Isaac tell Esau to go out and find a lamb and kill it and bring it back for him to eat. And when he heard it, Rebekah made up this plan and got Jacob to go in and pretend to be Esau. And then he ended up stealing his birthright and his blessings. I don't want to, you're going to have to put it up there. So you know the story, right? Rebekah told Jacob, get out of here. And the reason why she told Jacob to get out of here is because Esau vowed to kill Jacob. Y'all remember that story? So if you look in Genesis 27 chapter, you realize that Esau had decided, you stole from me, you took my birthright, and I am going to kill you. And I know when we think of, you look at Genesis 27, I encourage you to go back and read it, you realize that when Esau lost his birthright, he was distressed. He was upset. He was bitter. He cried out. He asked his father, he said, don't you have one blessing left for me? And Isaac told him, no, I've given the blessing to your brother. So Esau is upset. And Genesis 27, it says that Rebekah told Jacob, your brother Esau is consoling himself because he plans to kill you. Y'all following me? Mm-hmm. So what's happening is Esau is so upset that the only thing that's giving him a little of what he would consider peace is the idea that he is going to kill Jacob.
Right.
That's rough right there, y'all.
Yeah.
When you are in a relationship with somebody has mistreated you so bad, that the only thing that you can use to console you is taking their own life. That's rough. But Esau vowed to kill Jacob, and Jacob now has to flee. And he flees to the land of Haran, and there he meets with Laban, and he marries
Rachel wanted marries Leah, wants to marry Rachel, then he married Rachel. You know the whole story. Mm-hmm. Now, 20 years later, God has told Jacob, go home. Y'all follow me?
Yes, sir.
I need y'all to wake up. God has told Jacob to go home, but Jacob has a serious problem. The problem is his brother told him he was going to what? Kill him. So Jacob now has this instruction from God to go home, but he is extremely afraid of his brother. And I want you to understand that when you live in a place of fear, it messes up everything that you do. Jacob had the right to be afraid because he had mistreated Esau.
Right.
But then God had already told him, I'm going to do well by you. But even though he received this promise from God, he has impacted greatly by his fear of his brother.
Right.
So, and I want you to understand that when you live in a place of fear, it is impossible for you to live your best life. It's impossible for you to please God because you cannot do what God has asked you to do because you're not driven by your faith. You are driven by your fear. And fear, y'all, listen to this. Fear will impact every area of your life. That's the reason why the Bible says that God has not given us a spirit of what? Fear, but of a spirit of power and love and a sound mind. See, the reason why that stands because God understands, the Holy Spirit understands, the right understands that if you are afraid, you cannot do what God needs you to do. But there's some impacts and some effects of fear, and I want you to walk through this passage of scripture with me so that you understand what fear will do to you. And then if you're here the afternoon, I will tell you what it is that you must go through to overcome fear. All right, so you got to come back tonight to get it all. Let me tell you how this happened. This is how you know my wife got good sense. I was talking to her this morning, and I had this sermon. That's the reason why I'm putting up the screen, because I'm separating now. But I had this sermon, and I said, man, I got a lot of information that I want to share. And she looked at me and said, well, you better make it two sermons. Right? She was letting me know. She said, look here, don't you have us up there? People ain't going to get all of that. You better make it two sermons. So I separate this thing into two sermons. That's the reason why I married her, because she got good sense. But we'll break this thing up. So you know the historical context. You know that even when Jacob was gone, he became extremely wealthy. So Jacob is not coming back the same way that he left. And he even says that in chapter 32, it says that. But I want you to understand, Jacob's fear has ruined or has impacted him greatly that he is almost paralyzed. All right. The first thing you understand is when you are afraid, fear will affect your state of mind.
Amen.
Need you to hear me again. When you are afraid, you can't think straight.
Right.
Why you say that, brother? Okay, let me help you. Has anybody ever had a dog bark at you? Look like he's coming? You don't quite know where he is. My mother, at my mother's house, the people across the street have a dog. Now the dog is usually never out. The dog stays in the garage. But when we get out the car, the dog barks. Y'all hear me? And we can hear this loud bark across the street.
Okay.
When that dog barked the first time, I was afraid. Guess what happened? Nothing. I didn't know where to go, where to run, to go in the house, to get back in the car. I didn't know what was happening. And guess what? The dog was in the garage. But he struck when he barked, he made me afraid.
Right.
So he paralyzed, he impacted my thinking. I could have easily been bitten by the dog, not because I don't know how to get away from dogs, but because the fear stopped me from thinking clearly.
Right.
When you are afraid, you cannot have a clear mind, which means you're you're not able to do what God wants. Now watch this. The Bible says that Jacob, look at verse 7. The Bible says that when Jacob, the messenger returned to Jacob saying, verse 6, we came to your brother Esau, and he's coming to meet you, and 400 men with him. Now you know what's happening, right? Jacob, the Bible says he coming, Esau coming, and he brought 400 men with him. What do you think Jacob thought? He got the whole posse. I'm in trouble. And the Bible says that when Jacob heard this, he was what? Greatly afraid and what? Distressed. Fear impacts your state of mind because when you are afraid, it gives you a level of stress. This is the reason why it's important for you to not walk in fear. Because when you're walking in fear, you bring about an unneeded level of stress on your life.
Right.
Jacob then started to make bad choices. What do you mean he made bad choices? He began to divide his people. Listen to this. Jacob said, I'm afraid, I'm distressed, I'm going to divide the people. One company, if Esau get them, don't die. The other company, if Esau gets the first company, can escape. Right. Could you imagine the impact on the company that was supposed to die? Could you imagine how they saw Jacob later? Once they realized that he set them up to them. Now, y'all follow me? Jacob separated his people. Somebody had to die. Jacob was so afraid, and you should say, well, at least he was trying to save somebody. No, that wasn't good thinking. Because Jacob was actually deciding to give or to risk or to sacrifice some of his people. And the reason why is because he was afraid. Be careful when you are driven or led by fear, because fear brings about stress, and stress does not allow you to think clearly. It happens in our work setting all the time. The worst thing that you could possibly get is a boss that's afraid. Anybody ever had a boss that was afraid? Afraid of somebody next to them? And the worst thing is a boss is afraid of you. See, because when a boss is afraid of you, then they react out of fear. And then they make decisions that sometimes will allow them to sacrifice you. And the reason why they'll sacrifice you is because they're afraid. So you better be careful when you live in a place or when you walk in fear, because fear will destroy you. Fear will not allow you to think clearly. And what I want you to understand, if you read from the time that Jacob left and went to Haran until the time he's coming back, one of the themes that you'll find in Genesis 27, Genesis 28, Genesis 29, all the way through, one of the things that continue to plague Jacob is he was afraid. Now, there's a story behind that. And it's not really the sermon, but I'll say it anyway. Part of the reason why Jacob was afraid is he was low down. I just want y'all to understand. Much of the reason why Jacob was afraid is because he was a trickster. He had mistreated people. Be careful when you be afraid, but I want you to understand, you also better be careful how you treat other people. Because when you treat people bad, it will put you in a state of mind that you don't need to be in. If Jacob would have just left Esau's birthright alone, he wouldn't have gone through all the things that he went through in his life. He was afraid because he had messed over his brother. Be careful when you mess over your brother. So not only does fear affect your mind, fear also affects your spiritual life. Go to verse 9. I want you to hear this. Verse 9, it says, and Jacob said, O God of my father Abraham, O God of my father Isaac, O Lord who said to me, return to your country and to your kindred, and I will do you good. I am not worthy of the least of all the steadfast love and all the faithfulness that you have shown to your servant. For with my staff I crossed this Jordan, and now I have become two companies. Deliver me, please, from the hand of my brother, from the hand of Esau, for I am what? Afraid of him. He may come and kill us all, the mother with the children. Yet you have said, I surely do you good and make your offspring and the sand of your seed, which cannot be counted because of their number. Listen to this. If you read through verses 9 through 12, you realize that Jacob's fear doesn't even allow him to see God clearly. You see how duplicitous he is in the scripture? Jacob says, on one hand, he says, Lord, deliver me. The God of my daddy and my granddaddy, I need you to deliver me. Why? Because you told me to return and you will do good by me. Right? That should have been enough to make Jacob move forward. You follow me? But spiritually, he can't even get where he needs to be because look, on one hand, he says, you said you would do good for me. He says, I only came across the Jordan just with me and my staff, and now I have company. I have two companies. And then on the other hand, he says, but I'm afraid of Esau. Right. God allowed Jacob to leave, blessed him, allowed him to come back much better than he had left. He had promised Jacob that I would do good by you and that I would take care of your seed. He had told Jacob that he would get his offspring would number the earth. All the things that God had done to Jacob. And yet, Jacob is still afraid to lose his life. Amen. Jacob's fear did not allow him to have a substantial faith.
Right.
Y'all quiet. Let me help you.
Right.
God has done enough for you, me, and all of us to be able to walk in confidence, to walk in faith. But when you allow fear to overcome your mind, you can actually, like Jacob, list down all the things that God has done for you and still be unwilling to move on his behalf.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Jacob said, you told me you was going to take care of me. I came over here with just my staff. Now I've got two companies of things. You told me my offspring was going to spread the bill, be spread amongst the earth. You told me you would do good to me. You told me all these things. You taking care of me all this time. But God, I just can't move. Why can't I move? Because I'm afraid. Fear will destroy your spiritual life. You got to be careful when you are afraid, because when you are afraid, you cannot see God clearly, even though the evidence is in front of you.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all follow me?
Yes.
I'm trying to help you understand why it's important for you to get rid of fear. Now, like what you said a point earlier, it's also good important for you to get rid of the behavior that caused your fear.
Right.
Because a lot of reason why we're afraid is because of the life that we live.
Right.
I'm just saying. Some of y'all afraid to go to your class or high school reunion because you don't know who's going to whoop you when you get back. Y'all laughing, but you know it's true. Some of y'all ain't been back in your hometown in 30 years. Because you don't want Pookie and Nana to know you back. You can't frequent none of the places you used to go to because you mistreated somebody. Some of you afraid to bring your spouse to church. Because you mistreat them at home. How real y'all want to get? Some of you afraid to talk about God at work. Because you act a fool right over there. Fear will impact you in some negative, some very, very powerful ways. And the worst way, I believe, that it impacts you is that it makes you doubt the power of God. Not only will fear impact your mindset, it will impact your spiritual life. The first one was fear. If you want to write this down, point number one is that fear affects your mindset. Point number two is that fear affects your spiritual life. But not only does fear affect those things, fear also affects your money. I got some of y'all here now. Watch what Jacob does. Jacob's so afraid of Esau, it says, so Jacob sent 200 female goat, 200 male goat, 200 rams, 30 camels, their colts, 40 cows, 10 bulls, 20 female donkey, 10 male donkey. Then he delivered. Jacob started giving away all of his stuff. Because he was afraid. He started misusing his money. He started misusing the things that God had given him because he was living in a place of fear. Y'all read this? Be careful when you're afraid, because when you're afraid, not only will you make bad, will it distress you, not only will it impact your spiritual life, it'll also impact those things that you have that are monetary. Now, Jacob, this is the difference between Jacob and us. Jacob's fear made him start giving away stuff. Our fear makes us hold on to it. Well, I would give to the church to make sure that we can support the missionary work, but my check was only such and such and such. And I know that normally on the third week when I get my check, my mortgage come out on the first, so I don't have enough money to do this and that. So I'm just going to hold on to what I got. I would help this sister buy a meal for her family because I know she's struggling. But I'm not really sure if I give that away, if I get it back. Come on, I'm just trying to be, and we can go on. I would, brother, need a new pair of ties, and I know I just got me a new pair, and I know the guy up the street that'll give him a discount on it, and I will help him with it, but I don't know. I'm not sure if I can help him. Because I'm not sure that if I was in the same situation, he'd have helped me. Come on. Fear will mess you up. It'll make you think differently in a number of different areas. And it will not only mess up your mind and your spirit, it'll also mess up your money. Some of us say, well, bro Mason, I ain't got nothing. Because you won't give nothing. Sometimes the reason why you're not blessed is because you hold on to the little things that you have and you won't give. So if you don't give, you're not planting. And if you don't plant, nothing will grow. Right. Guess how good a pack of seeds are in my hand. I can talk about these seeds. I can tell you how good these seeds could be. $7. $25 in my pocket, $10 more in my local park. Y'all know what I'm saying? your mama cooking the dinner, and she say, let me taste it. You say, no. She bought the supplies, put it on the stove, fixed it for you, and you won't even let her taste the greens. Fear will impact your money. And not only will fear impact your money, fear will impact your family. Go to the 33rd chapter. And I need y'all to get this. Y'all remember in Genesis, where you start, and I think it's around 37 and goes all the way to 51, we read about the story of Joseph. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Well, y'all say amen so we get finished.
Amen.
All right. Y'all know the story of Joseph. And you realize in the story of Joseph, Joseph's brothers mistreated him. That's how we get into that story.
Right.
Jacob, he had the coat of many. Y'all remember all of that?
Yeah.
Watch this. Now, chapter 33, verse 1. Now Jacob looked up, and he saw Esau coming. What's Jacob's mindset? He afraid. And 400 men with him. And watch what he did. So he divided his children amongst Leah and Rachel and two of the handmaids. And he put the maids with the children in front, then Leah with his family, and Rachel, and who?
Joseph
last of all. I want y'all to understand this. Watch this. We see later on Joseph not being respected by his brothers. And the reason why they don't respect his brothers is because Jacob has shown him some additional attention. Y'all follow me? One could argue, I believe, that out of Jacob's fear, he took all of his family, put all of them. What he said is, if something goes wrong, kill all of these people first.
Yeah.
Leah,
yeah.
Rachel, handmaids, bottom line. But the last person you kill too, Joseph. He divided his family out of fear, and some generations and years later, that same divide came back to haunt your life. Be careful when you run and work out of fear, because you will divide yourself up wrong. You will show your family that you're afraid. They'll see that you're walking in fear and not faith, and you can't even break the legacy. Y'all missing it? When you are afraid, you make bad choices. When your family sees you be afraid, you create a legacy. You put things, you plant seeds in your family mind that sometimes you are never able to recover. Jacob was so afraid, he said, kill all of my people. I don't want you to kill none of them. But if you kill us, kill them in this oil. Some of us are in this place right now, walking around here out of faith. Out of fear. When you are fearful as a person, or we are fearful as a church, God cannot bless us. Right. And it's not because he will not step up and he will not be sure to give us exactly what he promised. That's not the reason why he won't do it. It's because that the character, our character is so rough. It's struggling so bad that even though the promise is there, we're not able to receive it.
Right.
Now, tonight, we're going to talk about what has to happen for you to be able to get your promise. Because I think if we study the night before the curse is broken, when Jacob had to wrestle with God, some real, real important things in there. If we study what went place in that interaction with God, we'll see what God did to Jacob, and then we'll see how he received his blessing. But the very first thing you got to do is you got to let go of the fear.
Amen.
Right.
Because you really ain't got to be afraid of it. If you really just sit down and just think about it logically, you really don't have anything to be afraid of. And it's funny that it's almost so simple that we make it different. I was just thinking about it. How in the world am I going to be afraid? And I can't control nothing. Everything that's going on in my life, either good or everything that's going on and that I would consider negative, I can't control none of it. What you mean? I can't even control my own breathing. Netflix called Designated Survivor. Y'all seen that? Was a show about the American government. And the one thing I'm taking away from this show is that the whole government is messed up. I'm just telling you, the whole government struggling. All kind of stuff going on. And I said to myself as I watched the show, I don't know how much of it is real, how much of it is fake. But I know one thing, I'm so glad that I don't have to live and rest and have all my faith be in them people. Amen. My faith is in God. Amen. He always been the way he is. He ain't gonna change.
Right.
I need to be with somebody who never changes and always wins.
Amen.
My faith, I ain't afraid of nobody out here. Because God just don't lose.
Amen.
I invite you to come serve and work with a God who just can't lose.
Amen.
You come right now. Yield not to temptation.